This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on the show, how can schools meet the educational needs of all students? But first, the holidays, typically a time for bonding and celebrating with friends and family, can be a bit more complicated for some families. For example, interfaith families have to decide which holidays to celebrate with the kids. There are also newly divorced parents whose kids may have to spend the holidays with their parents separately or have to spend time with new step-family members. And here to talk about the holiday season when it comes to interfaith or non-traditional families are Congregation Beth Adam's Rabbi Robert Barr, the Jewish Federation of Cincinnati's Esther and Marie Specker Networking and Mentoring Coordinator, Emily Gilgoff, and Professor of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Gary Dick. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Gary, Emily, and Rabbi Barr, thank you so much for being here this afternoon. It's good to see everybody. Gary, do we have any idea how many interfaith families, how many blended families there are in the U.S.? Anybody know by chance?
It's increased, and as we were talking earlier, it's really increased in the last several years, and we were talking about the traditional type of family versus the modern family, and we were kind of talking about this interfaith as being what, kind of like the what family, you know, where you can just be free to not be trapped by the tradition, but integrate it with another faith, like Emily's parents have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but you were talking about traditional families and the modern family. So how do you view the two things? What's the difference, Gary?
Well, I think, and I think this is really an important concept too when we talk about divorce families, because with the I think with every family, whether it's interfaith or if they're going through a divorce, there's a few things that I think the families have to do, and one is to look at their family from a traditional perspective. What did we do in the past that really worked over the holidays? What traditions that I want to keep? The second piece of that is, what traditions have we done in the past that no longer work, that really need to be tweaked and changed because it's 2016? You've grown, the children are grown, so what needs to be changed? And the third thing, which may be a more modern or kind of out-of-the-box kind of thinking, is what do we need to change, and not only change, but get rid of, stop.
Right. So I would say the new world is no rules.
No rules.
Everybody gets to create new traditions that affect who they are and expresses what the family they want, versus being tied to what we were told, what we were supposed to do. People get to create now and figure out what works for them, who they are as a family, who they are as an individual, who they are as a couple, and who their children are becoming.
Yeah, but Rabbi, can it be a challenging time for families, the interfaith families, the blended families? Can the holidays be a little bit on the tough side, maybe?
I think holidays are tough for everybody. So let's stop putting it all on the interfaith family. It's your problem. Everybody has challenges because oftentimes there's lots of expectations. These are times to be happy and excited, and not everyone's happy and excited during the holidays. There's depression. There's angst. There's anxiety. So that's – just wanted to put that
it's
out
a
there.
Universal thing. Okay.
But I think I think when a couple comes together, they need to talk about what their expectations are, what their hopes are. The other thing too is, when we use the word interfaith, we're typically talking, it was certainly around this table, Christmas, Hanukkah. I mean, right, that's the conversation, I think, a little bit. It doesn't have to be. Different Christian groups can see it differently as well. Catholics and Southern Baptists, perhaps, right? They may...
My own situation.
Right. That was your call, not mine. but different people can see it differently. What I'm finding is, a lot of folks, their philosophic religious cores are not nearly as different as they used to be. I'm finding lots of people, when I meet them, are essentially, their value set is the same. They're, let's use the word secular, humanist, you can take a lot of different words, but they actually agree with each other, no matter which religious tradition they came from, Muslim, Hindu, Jewish, Christian, and you talk to them and you ask them about ethics and morality, and they say, yeah, I think people have the right to make their own decisions. They may use different patina to color it, different myths to shape it, different foods. Maybe I like brisket and somebody else likes ham to make the holiday. But it's a cultural thing, not a deep religious, I believe this, and if you don't agree with me, somehow you're not going to go to heaven or hell or wherever you need to be.
But you're saying that the common ground is what you look for.
Well, there's a lot of common ground. Mm-hmm. I find, in fact, there's a lot more common ground than non-common ground anymore. We tend to push it up there because we use words, different traditions and different interfaith, which presumes differences, rather than saying, what's the commonality? Well, I mean, people fall in love and they love each other. They found something similar within each other. Why don't we build on that? And then we can have these different symbols together. They aren't mutually exclusive all the time. I think we've created a place where you're this or that, that you can't be both and celebrate uncomfortably.
Mm-hmm. 513-419-7100, if you'd like to join our conversation. Now, Emily, you're from an interfaith family. What's that whole experience been like for you?
It's actually been a really great experience. It's been one that has allowed me, I think, and my sister, I think, to be exposed uniquely to different sets of people. I was raised Jewish. My father is Jewish. My sister is also Jewish, and my mother was raised in a Christian home. But we have been exposed to sort of this, I think exactly what Rabbi Barr is saying is the commonality between my Jewish family and my non-Jewish family. We have more in common than we realize. And I think although it's been difficult, definitely, I mean, coming from different backgrounds is always a challenge regardless of religion. It's been a really great experience, one that I think has shaped me and my sister to be well-adjusted, accepting, inclusive people.
Again, 513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk with Cynthia in Wyoming. Hi, Cynthia.
Oh, hello.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I just wanted to comment that my family is actually atheistic, and we have created our own tradition of celebrating Sir Isaac Newton's birthday, who, according to his mother, was born on December 25th. And my parents are both raised in Catholic households, and my sister and myself, you know, their families still celebrated Christmas, and they loved the tradition of, you know, getting together and exchanging presents and having, you know, a celebration at that time. So they looked through the history, found a date that matched, and we kind of have created our own little thing, which I think is really fun.
Well, it's a good solution. Apparently it's worked. Sounds like it's worked.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes to that thing. There are no rules anymore.
Yeah, and we still get together with the extended family and, you know, just kind of don't bring up religion or politics, and we'll all get along fine.
That sounds amazing. I'd like to take that on.
Cynthia, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, it's like you're saying, there are really no rules.
Right. I think we're living in a modern time where people have the opportunity to create what speaks to who they are, what their vision is of their values and morality and their sense of identity. And we have to create a space for that freedom. And I think what happens is oftentimes when we have these conversations, I think we're drifting back in time, actually. We're not looking into where people are and the families that are being created, whether they're people who are, you know, there's lots of single folks now. Families are of all shapes, sizes than they've ever been. And I think we have to move into a conversation that reflects that. And if religions don't reflect that, then the religions are antiquated and are fixed and frozen. Static religion, from my perspective, has a real problem. I think one of the reasons it's losing people.
Gary, how common is it today for families to celebrate, like Cynthia was talking about, with more secular traditions than with religious celebrations?
Well, one of the things I've seen is, and I think this gets into looking at the different beliefs and the way that people grew up and what they valued it over the holidays, but I think it's so important to respect the traditions and also be able to respect the meaning that it gives to the other family members. And if you choose to participate, that's wonderful. Like Emily was saying, she learned so much from both sides of her family. But at the same time, I think that talking about the no rules, kind of the new modern world, it's very important, especially in divorced families, for people to try new things. If it doesn't work, if the new tradition doesn't work, if it doesn't bring meaning, then change it up again. But at least be open to walking down that path of recreating a new meaning, new purpose over the holidays.
Again, 513-419-7100 to join us. Let's talk with Dale in Lithonia. Hi, Dale.
Hello. Nice topic. I have a comment. In mid-1985, I had no job, and I decided to join the United States Peace Corps. I was assigned to the country of Fiji, where interfaith rocks. In Fiji, today, you can enjoy the Christmas holidays with a Muslim, with a Hindu, with a Gujarati, with a Sikh, with a Methodist, with a Jewish person, which are revered there, and more, Chinese people. And everyone lives in absolute harmony except for the sometimes government corruption. Mm-hmm. But the place where I've visited in my lifetime, I'm 60 now, where interfaith rocks, and I've been around the world, is Fiji. $1,200 round trip.
He'll book you a flight too.
Get on it.
So they've really embraced it in Fiji, Dale.
I'm sorry?
They've really embraced it in Fiji.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can in one day go to a Muslim mosque, a Hindu temple, a Chinese fellowship, a Methodist church within 10 minutes. And everyone gets along. There's no fear of Muslim terrorism. There's no fear of anything. Now, the country, of course, does not allow guns, and that's interesting. But it's a lovely country and very beautiful people. And by the way, I went to Covington Latin High School when it was all boys, staunchly Catholic, and frankly, in hindsight, a nightmare. But I love the school.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it. And we will continue our conversation. Again, you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, here to talk about the holiday season when it comes to interfaith or non-traditional families. Our congregation Beth Adam's Rabbi Robert Barr, the Jewish Federation of Cincinnati's Esther and Maurice Becker Networking and Mentoring Coordinator Emily Gilgoff, and Professor of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Gary Dick. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Gary, so far we talked a lot about interfaith families. What about the impact of, say, families where they've experienced divorce or something else that's just caused the family to be rearranged?
Mark, I think one of the things that's challenging at Christmas time on a psychological and emotional level is that every Christmas holiday really brings with it the history of everyone before. So you could be 35 and you're going to remember things when you were 16, when you were maybe 8 or 9 years old. And a lot of memories get awakened, and it's so common at that time, especially when we talk about sitting around the dinner table, of who has passed on and is no longer with the family. And so as you're trying to have joy and find meaning, and especially if the death has been recent within a few years, you know, people are going to remember them and feel that sadness. So they're grieving on one hand, missing that person. So, you know, I look at the holidays as a time that really awakens in all of us memories, and in some situations, some grief and loss as well.
Yeah, well, how do you deal with that, Gary? I mean,
well, I think it's very important to open up and communicate about it and talk about the feelings, maybe share some pleasant memories, and yet continue to move on, you know, to continue to embrace those new members that are brought into the family, to discuss feelings, to be sad, to mourn, to cry, And then to try to move on. And I think one of the things that happens a lot at the holidays is we all bring our perceptions of how we want it to be. And there's a difference between what we want to be, and if it's communicated, I think the chances of us getting there is a little better than if we just keep it internally within our own heads. And so you've got an expectation of how you want it to be, but nobody else in the family knows about it because you haven't communicated.
And that could be as simple as, I mean, that's really profound. I think it's really important that people talk about their sets of expectations, about what they're hoping for. I see a lot of people get conflicts over gift giving, right? There's, you know, expectations of big gifts, small gifts, and not having a conversation about what are we doing? How much do we give? How much do we donate to other places? Maybe this is the year that we all give. Rather than the gift to each other, we give gift to people we don't know who are really in need. And having that conversation about what's the hopes, what's the dreams, what are the memories that I'm carrying, that, you know, a lot of times people want to replicate their past. What I talk to people about a lot is maybe not replicating the past, but what about creating the future? What about creating traditions that will be remembered by others after you, rather than trying to replicate what we had, because we're living at a very different time. Personally, I know I have my family spread around the country, really, there are times around the world, and oftentimes we pass one of our family members around on an iPad, or a, you know, right? We're passing them around because they're no longer sitting at the table because they don't live in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So we're passing them around, but they're still part of our family. We can create something new and something different, as long as we talk about it.
And I think along with that, creating something new and different, most families, the way they decorate their homes is the same year after year. And I think one of the things that people need to communicate and talk about is, do we want to change it up? Do we want to do something different? And maybe you don't completely redo the home, but you begin step by step of making some changes into the future.
Where people... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, I think I can definitely speak to that, like with creating new traditions and new ways of celebrating. Now I'm back in Cincinnati. I haven't been living here for the last few years, so I haven't been here for the high holidays, actually, the Jewish high holidays. And my sister is Jewish, but isn't quite as involved as I am. And my dad is still quite involved himself. And now this is probably the second year that my parents haven't been together, but the first year that I've actually been home for it. And my dad and I decided that we wanted to make our own tradition. So we actually came to Beth Adam and saw Rabbi Bar for Rosh Hashanah, which is one of the high holidays. And it was different than anything we'd ever done before. We always go, the four of us. So we were a little bit worried that it would be a sad situation, that this would bring up negative feelings. But in fact, it was actually just really special. My dad and I got to experience and discuss a totally new way of going about our holiday, and it was really great. So I think you're right. It has to be, it's an adjustment, but it definitely can be a really good opportunity too.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us, and let's talk with Mary in Clifton. Hi, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and this is a great topic today. And we are an interfaith family, first generation of that. And the comment along the way while I was listening about grief and loss, I believe it was Mr. Gary Dick was commenting
mm-hmm,
on
that's
that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And certainly our family had a significant loss recently, my adult children losing their father. However, both of their new marriages and a grandchild who is inheriting a Christian and Jewish background, we have the dinosaur menorah and the Christmas tree kind of right next to each other. In a couple of weeks, we'll be doing that. And we love it. We've embraced everything about the Jewish culture, not unfamiliar with it. But my son marrying into the family has been extraordinarily wonderful. And we are creating the new traditions with no problem. My own background being just Christian culture, and my children who are adults live in Cincinnati, and we love getting together during the holidays. But we do set a place at the table for those that are missing.
So I was going to ask you, Mary, how much effort did it take to get to this point? I mean, was this tough to get here, or was it relatively easy to arrive at this?
It took thinking. Yes, it did. However, my grandchild inherited older parents, and their wisdom speaks volumes. I don't know. In Cincinnati, there is a lot of Jewish culture, and if you're living in Cincinnati for any length of time, there seems to be some exposure to it anyway. So it wasn't strange or weird for us personally. I know for some people it might be, and I understand that. But I do watch my daughter-in-law in Hebrew speak what you do. So sorry, I don't know all of the terms, but she lights the candles, and we go for each night, and we just love it.
That's great.
Well, good to hear it's working out, Mary. Glad to hear it.
Thank you so much for the topic. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Any thoughts on Mary's situation? I mean, it sounds like it's working out well.
Right. Well, this year, too, because Hanukkah mm-hmm. and Christmas Eve fall on the same night, the 24th.
Yeah, there's a definite overlap there.
I have a sense there's going to be a lot of menorah lightings and Christmas tree lightings taking place simultaneously.
And I was going to just make a little bit of a plug. The Jewish Federation and the JCC are partnering together, and we're doing a really fun event called Latke Palooza. You can find it on our website, Jewish Federation, follow Cincy Jews. But we're having it at the pavilion in Mount Adams, and it's going from 8:30 until 1:30 on Christmas Eve. So it's a really good opportunity for people after they've done things with their families to come and celebrate together.
Well, and you just brought up a good point. Is this there seems like there's so many opportunities for people who are in an interfaith family or a blended family. So many opportunities for learning new things, experiencing new things. Like she was just talking about, she knows more about the Jewish faith now than she did before. So it sounds like there are a lot of things that are benefits.
I think so. People are open to it. If people aren't scared, if people aren't saying it has to be my way or the way I remember, I think what Emily had said, you can learn a lot. People can have wonderful experiences. It can create new. And the reality is, and this is sort of my experience of being a rabbi, it is the world we're living in. I meet families lots of where I'll talk to the parents of the children, adult children getting married, and they're upset. I say, this is the new world. You can either participate in it, enjoy it, celebrate it, meet your grandchildren, or you can try to pretend you're going to hold back this tidal wave and no longer be a part of it. The world is different than it once was, and I think it's my obligation as a rabbi at Beth Adam to create a bold Judaism that allows people to participate in this different world. We're a congregation. We have a lot of interfaith families. We invite the non-Jewish relatives onto the bima, the platform where the service is taking place, and to be full participants because they're part of this family. The more we can celebrate diversity, the more we can include people, I think the better it's going to be. It creates a sense of understanding. It celebrates family. It recognizes our differences and our commonalities.
Let's talk with Ruth in Blue Ash. Good afternoon, Ruth.
Good afternoon. Hi, I just had a really quick comment. I work for hospice, and I just wanted to remind everyone in the Cincinnati area that hospices in your area provide special things or special sessions around the holidays to deal with that grief and bereavement that you're going through.
Okay. Ruth, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, I think Ruth made a very good point. With loss and grief, when we look at divorced families, when we look at the death of a family member, there are changes on so many different levels, psychologically, emotionally. Families move, especially during a divorce. Financially, there's changes in community. And I think that to help reduce that stress, especially if the families have young children, they have to plan, and get some scheduling down because those kids may be going to the dad's side of the family for a while, then the mother's, then the extended family. And it really involves, I think, a lot of thinking and a lot of planning and concentration.
So don't wait till the first week of December to try to figure this out. Start well ahead of time.
And communicate what you want and get those plans and expectations out on the table.
Gary, how important is it this time of year to take a broader view of that your main concern should be about how the family lives the rest of the year, the entire year, not just this one month?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it brings us all together because of religion, and I think that the broader that perspective is, in other words, this is another day of living life, and it doesn't have to be. We do not have to impose upon ourselves these incredible expectations that are not going to be met, but just take it, as you were saying before, like one day at a time and moving into the future, and really not trying to make it something that's more of a fantasy versus the reality of our everyday lives.
Well, I think when it's disconnected, when it's disconnected from the way we live the rest of the year, it's bizarre. You know, where people start playing a game, it's like they're visiting something, a museum almost, versus being who they are. Holiday celebrations should be an expression of what we do 364 days a year. It shouldn't be something different. So I absolutely, and then people get upset. I was thinking about with the little kids who get gone to house, and everyone expects them to eat at everyone's house. And the grandma at the last house says, "You're not eating my food. You don't love me." But they forgot, right? They forgot that they've been dragged around to all these different houses because they haven't had a conversation about, because food means a lot to people.
And I think especially for parents who have younger children, you know, they have a bedtime and they have a structure. And you know, sometimes people, relatives may not respect the structure that the parents have for the younger children. Why are you leaving? Well, the child has to get to bed, which would be that normal routine of everyday life.
And Gary, I wonder if you have some advice on this, because I've been hearing stories about, with this contentious election we've just gone through, about families who are divided, and it's really causing some problems during the holidays. How do you deal with that whole political situation during the holidays?
Well, I think that in any situation, any family, especially from a social work perspective, we always look at the context and look at what's going on historically. And I think our country is in an incredible period of uncertainty. And I think that there can be, what I've seen happen, at least with families in therapy, is there's a lot of mourning that's going on and a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety about what holds, you know, the future holds. And it's not letting up. I mean, this could go on for 4 years or more. And I don't, you know, some families will say, well, we're not going to talk about that. You read a lot about that. You can't bring it up. And I think if you're going to bring it up, you better be prepared for the fallout.
Funny, I keep thinking back to what you said, Rabbi, about common ground. That keeps popping into my head. You have to look for that.
And I think this may be the new interfaith marriage. Who did you vote for?
Yes.
Right. And I think the same rules that apply for what we were saying about conversation, mm-hmm. respect, openness. It's not about winning the argument. It's about understanding why people may be in a place that you're not in. I mean, that's the change.
And I think that it could... With that, I agree with you. And I think we, like my family, having interfaith, it is interpolitical as well. That's a huge part of it. And I think personally, it's opened my mind having conversations. I mean, I have amazing political conversations with my grandfather, which I think everyone else just is probably sickened by at this point. But we have very differing ways of looking at each other, or looking at politics and culture and society in general, but it's allowed me to put a face to the other party. I think that happens sometimes. Like, we live in very insular environments. We surround ourselves usually with people that are like us. So when we're given the situation to be with people who are different, who see things differently, and not just people, but this is your family. You love them. So it puts a face to it. And I think it allows us not to other each other, but instead have dialogue, which maybe for some families is a little bit different, mm-hmm. more contentious. But
I think, too, politics is about values as well. Right. And our values we hold on to, they're very dear to us. And so I think sometimes when family members have very different values than we have, especially when it comes to things like social justice and equality, that can really cause for some intense conversations.
I think Emily has some good advice. It's your family. Keep an open mind and have some interesting conversations,
yeah.
Right?
A little bit of respect, a lot of respect.
Yes. Yeah.
And a lot of laughter.
A lot of understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gary, Emily, and Rabbi Barr, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Congregation Beth Adam's Rabbi Robert Barr, Jewish Federation of Cincinnati's Esther and Maurice Becker Networking and Mentoring Coordinator Emily Gilgoff, and Professor of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati Dr. Gary Dick. Coming up, we'll discuss race and education and a forum on meeting the needs of all students. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.